Welcome to a brand new show. It's kind of interesting. This is a brand new show. Controversy, and right now we're having a little technical difficulty that happened. So my name is Stephen P. We're going to do it in the key of E. This is bold, black, clear. The show is called Controversy on the Internet. So when I say I'm doing it in the key of E, it basically means I'm doing it for you and me. One of the things I want everybody to understand, when you come to me, the whole thing is if you're scared, just say you're scared. Anything we're going to talk about, it's all about what's really going on inside. Regardless of what's going on, what I'm saying, you need to understand that this show is important in the fact that because number one, what we're going to basically do is talk about subjects that a lot of people don't want to talk about. Excuse me, we're working through some technical difficulties. And to tell you the truth, actually, I'm coming to you from YazzaRadio.com. The TV station is YazzaRadioTV.com. So put that in your pipe and smoke it to make sure that you roll it a little bit and pass the word on. The reason we're talking right now is there's some rules to how we're going to do this show. One of the rules is my whole theory of life is if you're scared, say you're scared. So there's no reason to call this show and be scared about anything that you're saying. The other thing is I'm going to start off saying to you when I put you on the air, if you're scared, say you're scared. Your response must be to me, I'm not scared. And then we go on to our subject. A couple of things that we're going to talk about today is this is something that's brand new and exciting, not only for me, but the people that I'm working for, the Yaza Radio Network. So do your best to kind of bear with us, but more importantly, be with us. What we're going to talk about today is something that a lot of people don't want to touch, and that's about abortion rights. And the reason we're going to talk about that right now is because right now it's becoming a real focus in reference to America and the politics evolving in America. We must understand that this whole issue brings forth a moral issue in some cases and brings back a age-old theory of who is right and who is wrong in reference to women's rights especially. I'm going to go on record to let you know that I'm very, 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 very pro-life. I don't believe in abortion in any sense, including rape. The other thing is, I have this kind of oxymoron, arrogant attitude. Now, oxymoron, arrogant attitude is this. It makes no sense to me. If on one end you can say that you believe in the death penalty, but you got no problem taking the life of the unborn, that doesn't make any sense at all. So, you know, that's what we're going to talk about today. And if you want to talk about some other things, you know, one of the things that happened on my way into the studio today is this whole issue of somebody asked me a question as they were riding with me about transgender issues. Get that word out. And the question that was asked me before we get into it was the fact that if a man had sex with a trans Van Dyke or transgender personnel, does it make him gay? Well, no. And the reason why I'm saying that is because, number one, that's a decision on him of whether he believes that this is a woman or not. And really, it's a decision on the woman. Me personally, I wouldn't do it. I'm against it. I'm against any type of behavior like that. But however, we have to understand that people have a right to believe what they want to believe within the content of what they can conceive. So, you know, we're going to leave that. If you want to talk about it, we will. But that's a strange issue to me because when the question was after me, I had to look next to the person who was asking me the question is, what are you thinking about, you know? So we're going to talk about a lot of issues like that. Feel free to call in. I know it's new because we're really testing out. Remember that this show is basically going to be on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 o'clock to 12. Right now, we're doing a kind of a pilot test thing so we can kind of organize what we're doing. So you can basically, you know, let's talk about this whole abortion issue. Let's go back. And this whole thing, really, if you think about it, happened, or the whole issue about abortion rights and stuff happened with a nurse back in the 1800s by the name of Margaret Sanger. And I'm not too sure if at the time that she developed this whole birth control concept of the birth control pill, was she targeting necessarily minorities? I mean, based on what I'm reading about her, she was really just talking about controlling the population from a European standpoint, because at the time they were having an explosion in children. So I'm not sure if it was a racist thing involved in that. But what I do know is that by the time it got to America, then it took a different tone, because I sincerely believe, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all. I'm really not. But I began to think that once it got to America, then as the population of people of color was increasing, and to contain what at that time white America felt was their property, or to keep their property in check, I'm being real with you, it's almost just like, you know, when they want to control deer, they go out and have deer hunts. Okay, so that's kind of what I think that at that time that white America was utilizing this whole birth control issue for. That being said, once that happened and the whole mentality took place, the interesting thing about it is that it worked. It worked. Now, as we speak today, then the whole issue of Roe versus Wade comes into play. And the whole Roe versus Wade issue was, once again, I'm being honest, a woman of Caucasian persuasion decided that she did not want to have a child. Okay. We'll answer the right to choose issue later, but this is how we got to this whole issue about abortion rights, and now even she has changed her mind and become a person that is pretty much pro-life. So with that, with all that being said, here's what it boils down to is this. When you talk about a woman's right to choose, I'll be the first to tell you that that's paramount. Whether woman, man, it doesn't make a difference. We all have the freedom of will, so therefore we have the right to choose. The problem with the issue with me from a pure understanding and a critical thinking standpoint is this. You have the right to choose in reference to your body. I think anybody has the right to do that. But then when you talk about choosing, then that means that other people should have the right to choose as well. And one of the issues that just blows me away is that if a woman decides that she wants to keep that child and the man doesn't, then he's stuck with paying for this child for the next umpteen years of this child's life. I get that. But in the same token, if this man wants to keep this child or this life because it may end up being another Martin Luther King or Malcolm X or John Kennedy, whatever, I get that too. So from a realistic and critical thinking standpoint, both people are involved, so both people should be involved in the decision process, yet that doesn't happen. Now we don't even, let's not even get to the point of the child or that life really doesn't have a choice in this matter, because now you're talking about two other people who have the right. And now we have the right, have the, if you want to call it that, responsibility, be more so the way to terminate this life without them being involved. So, those are complicated issues, but what I think that we really need to do is think critical about it, because for those that believe that the man should not be involved in the decision, I mean, come on, let's be realistic. It wouldn't happen without the man, as it would not happen without the woman in this situation. So, that's where I'm at. I just kind of want to hear other people's opinion. The call-in number is area code 515-605-9775. Once again, that number is 515-605-9775. You're tuned in to the show Controversy. I'm your host, Stephen B., doing the key of E, and that's excellence for us both. And let me tell you one other thing. The way I think, which probably some people think is polluted, and that's all right, because you can think whatever you want to think. But the truth of the matter is, when I talk to people, I sincerely believe this. I'm talking to them with 90% of my brain shackled behind my back. I'm really operating with about 10%. So for those of you that can't think further than that, please don't waste your time and call, because this is going to be all about real, and we're going to have some fun. But the truth of the matter is, let's just keep it real. Hey, listen, let me tell you this. I got an interesting producer. I don't know if he wants to talk or not. He's the silent type. I call him Bernstein. Yeah, his brother's awkward. I have a name like Bernstein. And please, my Jewish brother, don't get upset. Okay, I mean, we're just talking. But Bernstein, interesting guy. He keeps me on the one, you know. So, in fact, he's going to have to probably, while I talk sometimes, do some researching for me. I'm going to try to get my cell phone and do some researching. But let me share this with you. Back to the issue at hand. People say to me often, some people say, Pastor, that's cool, but I mean, really, I'm just Steve, okay? And people ask me the question or make statements to me like, well, what about this abortion issue? Don't you feel that we're killing the future leaders of this country? Yes, I believe that, black or white. Because number one, we have no idea of what this person can do or what this person has the ability or capacity to do, because we've taken that away from them. That's not a good choice, okay? That we're back to the choice issue. I mean, can you imagine where we would be today if the mother of Barack Obama would decide to terminate their brother's life? He would never exist. We would never share in his greatness. And no matter what anybody says, I mean, whether you agree with Brother Obama or not, the reality is this: greatness is greatness. We don't even use half of the greatness we have within ourselves. So what we've basically done is taken a very powerful part of the universe and destroyed it before it had a chance to give us their juice. That's what I call it, their juice. So, you know, and I know it's a difficult subject, especially being a man talking. No, you know, I take that back. It's not difficult for me at all. It's plain and simple. Plain and simple is this: life is about life. We have no right to terminate it. That's God's thing, man. I mean, you know, he created it. I mean, so therefore, he has the right to destroy it. And no matter how we look at it, I don't care if it's, and I'm very ticking people off, I don't care if it's the police in the street shooting a brother running down the street or somebody taking a life in some abortion clinic. Death is wrong, and it's final. We got to understand that. And in order for us to continue to strive and become not only the nation of the world that we are, then we got to use some common sense about some of the things that we do. Now, me personally, if you don't want to have the child, I get it. Then stop doing what you're doing. I mean, put a helmet on and do whatever, but just don't do it. I mean, it's that simple. Okay. I'm a man. Yes, let's be real. Okay, it's kind of hard. Easier said than done. Believe me, it's just like drinking cognac. Easier said than done. But the truth of the matter is this. That's the only way you can stop it. I mean, this is like venereal disease. Now, I know that sounds crazy to interject this with this issue, but it's true. You want to control it? Just stop doing it. It's that simple. I mean, we need to take responsibility for some of the decisions that we make. Trust me when I tell you, don't talk to me about a culture of devolving values when you do stuff like kill the unborn. I mean, if you were willing to take the life of an unborn child, and then we make statements like, well, that child, if he's born, is an illegitimate child. There's no such thing as an illegitimate child. Life is life. That's legitimate. So let's get away from those unnecessary, and that's what they are. They're unnecessary. Idiots are not allowed in this talk program. Okay, let's stick to the real. The real is life, and that is important. So no matter how you look at it, whether you agree with me or not, scratch your head and ask yourself a serious question. What would you be if they would have aborted you? Nowhere. Let's be real here, okay? Let's be real. So while I'm waiting for somebody to call, obviously I've scared a couple of people because I know a couple of people are supposed to call. You know what? I may call some people and irritate them. That sounds good. That's good for a talk show. Just call them, wake them up and say, excuse me, this is Stephen B. Man, you ain't calling me. I'm talking, okay? So I think, let me see what my producer see if we can do that. Let's see. Let me think of a number to call. I know. No, I won't call Marvin. I could call Marvin, but I'm not going to do that. Oh, we got a caller. Let's see, the last four is 2815. Caller, don't forget when you answer, remember to tell me you ain't scared, okay? If you're scared, say you're scared. This is Steve on Controversy. What's up?
Good morning. Yes, I'm calling from Greenville, South Carolina. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. What's up?
We're just cruising through this weather. I think it's going to be okay. We had a lot of rain here last night.
Oh, really? What's going on down there?
Y'all got
tornadoes coming on down there. Oh, yeah. Wow.
I'm praying that it'll skip over us.
Well, hey, pray on, but, you know, whatever happens, happens, but you be safe. But listen, were you paying attention to our conversation in reference to abortion rights and women's rights?
Mm-hmm.
Were you paying attention to that? Okay. But what's your attitude about what I said?
Well, abortion is, I don't believe in abortion. I just believe that life comes from our Creator. And we have no right to take it away. I just feel like everyone is here for a purpose and a plan by the Almighty God.
That's absolutely correct. Let me ask you a question because I'm trying to get just kind of a feel on what people in the South think about from your perspective, especially though Black women in the South. I mean, do you find that they are more pro-life in the South than they are in the North? Or you may not know anything about the North, but at the South, do you have the feeling that the Black community, especially women, are more pro-life?
Yes, I do. I think Northerners are more liberal than the Southern. We're just more conservative in the South.
Okay. Now, how to ask this? Are you by any chance involved in pastoring, the ministry, evangelizing? I don't want to get into the religious thing, but I'm just trying to get a feel on how the women in the South, especially those of color, have the conservative view that they have. I mean, is it? In the town, let me ask you this. Maybe you should ask this way. In the community that you live in, are you a church-going person?
Yes, I am. I'm very spiritual.
Okay.
I think we are very conservative in the South, and we just take life. I think we look at life more. We have the Southern hospitality. We give people the benefit of the doubt, and I think we're more loving, more kind. Say hello to strangers. Good morning. How are you doing? More so than people in the North.
So I get that part. That makes sense. But in your particular, strange question. In your particular church, or in the church in general in the South that you see, are Black women more of the leaders of the church, not from the standpoint of pastoring, but just more or less the driving force of the beliefs and the conservatism and the pro-life thing? Are the women the primary driving force, or is it the men?
Well, I think it's the women because they're more active. You see them working in ministry, doing a lot of community outreach, and they are definitely a driving force in the South.
Okay. Now let me ask you, so since we agree that you don't believe in abortion, do you believe in the death penalty?
You know, I do not. I do not believe in the death penalty because the person is not really suffering for what they have done. They're dead. There, it's over. And I think they should be punished. And if you die, I mean, you don't go through the punishment. You know, you don't feel it. You know.
Okay. So, and you're right, and I find that true too. Like I said, I don't know a lot. I have a couple of friends that live here that are from the South, and I know a couple of people just through my involvement in the American Legion, and people I've met online that are from the South. And it's interesting that you're absolutely correct, I think, of your assessment of the difference between people in the South and the North. They are a lot more liberal. And the interesting thing about it is that in the center of this liberalism, I happen to live in a state, this is Indiana, who they also call the Little South, because, I mean, you have probably more racism here than in North, South Carolina, and Alabama. And the difference here is that they're not honest about racism here. I mean, I find that people in the South, they'll tell you what they think about you. Here, they give you a bunch of isms and schisms, and it takes you a while to figure out what they're saying. So you're absolutely right about that. But let me ask you another question that comes to mind. Okay. You know, as I mentioned earlier in the show about this whole issue of transgender, so excuse me if I get caught up in that word transgender. And the question that was asked of me was, this gentleman had sex, I gather, or the question came up with a transgender individual. And the question was, does that make him gay? What's your feeling on it? Does that make him gay?
Well, some people have gay experiences that does not identify or them as being gay because they have a gay experience. I think if that's their lifestyle, then I would say, yes, they are gay. That's what they do on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, yeah, that's interesting. My attitude to that is, and I don't mind pissing people off, especially the person that I am dealing with or experienced with or having a relationship with. So if you're listening, don't get pissed off. But here's my theory to that. My theory to that is this. First of all, you're asking me a question that you really need to be asking yourself, because if you feel that what you're doing is gay, then it is. And the fact that you're questioning yourself, then that's something that you really need to look into. The other issue is the more critical issue is this. The person that you're having this involvement with, what is their feeling? I mean, one of the things that just fascinates me is when people make statements like stuff like, well, the reason I'm gay is because I feel trapped in a man. I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. That's the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard in my life, because it is the mind and the spirit that controls the body. Number one, it's not the other way around. So if you don't give me an excuse that there's a gay gene, or give me an excuse that I feel trapped in a box. Come on. The truth of the matter is, this is what you think. So now if you take those combinations of thought process together, okay, I'll accept it. But just telling you that my Bible tells me, and I don't want to get too biblical, but I don't mind getting real. My Bible says Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. So that's just where I'm coming from. Now, you can believe whatever you want. But I got news for you. You'll never see me with one of them. That's just me. Okay. So, but Carla, this is interesting talking. I'm going to get killed. I know I am. This is interesting talking to you. And yes, I don't mind telling anybody. Yes, I'm a person of the cloth. Believe very strongly of the God within. I'm a motivational speaker that generally doesn't get the platform to be so open with my conversations. And by no means do I want people to get caught up in the fact, does he really believe that way? Well, yeah, pretty much. I do. But, you know, a lot of things I'm already saying is just to stimulate conversation. Okay, that I'm going to do. So, but I really
appreciate you this calling.
I'm sorry, what?
Let me ask you this. Since you're a man of the cloth, can I ask you a question? Did Do you believe that that people who engage in homosexuality or lesbian, do you think that there's a place for them in heaven?
That's interesting. Is there a place for them in heaven? I guess it is. I mean, you know, one of the things that I can't get around is the fact that it's not my decision. I did not create these people. God created them. So it's his decision of whether there's a place for them or not. I would think there is. I mean, because regardless of what we say, God is, I mean, he's just, the whole concept is about love and acceptance. Now, because I choose to not accept certain things doesn't make me any less godly. And certainly if you disagree with what I'm saying, doesn't make you any less godly. What it does, though, you need to recognize the fact that it's the God within you that is the determining factor. And what I mean by that is this: God isn't what he creates. That's what the Bible says. And if God isn't what he creates, then there's just a little bit of stardust of God in you. And that's what you must rely on to make these decisions. Me personally, I'm not for it, but I mean, that's me. I mean, you're not going to see me in a gay bar. That ain't happening. Okay. Yeah. I made that mistake once when I was, seriously, I'm be real. I mean, when my wife was living and God rest her soul, she played this prank on me where we were out at Black Expo Parade or somewhere in Indy, and I had to use the restroom. That's what boys do when they're out. You've been drinking beer, you got to use the restroom. But anyway, so she said, I'll go over to this bar to have a drink. And it's a bar that was right down the street for Catholic Charities, where she worked at. That was even funnier. So I said, go in there. So I said, I'm going there. And, you know, my transition lens hadn't adjusted yet. So I get to the boys' bathroom. And the first thing I see was mirrors all around. I mean, top to bottom. Okay. And the guy came in with this pink boa around his neck. And as I'm tinkling, you know, he's looking at me. I'm like, this is not funny, okay? And as I walk out, the guy said to me, sir, did you have a nice time? So, no, he is, sir, did you have a nice time? No, I didn't have a nice time. So I walked out, my wife's sitting there laughing, her and her girlfriend in the corner. Yeah, so I don't do that. I just, you know, I accept everybody. Yeah. But I don't do that. And no, before anybody asks me a question, even though I'm not going to reveal my faith, but I will not be marrying any gay couples. That won't happen either. Okay. I mean, I'm going to be real. My daughter, who I love very much, love her to death. But, you know, I can't accept that behavior. And even though she's married and she married a wonderful person, I mean, and really, I can't take anything away from the person. And I can't take nothing away from the love that they have for each other. They just can't sleep in my house together. It just don't work for me. So that's my answer. About being from
we all have a right to our opinions on that. But I believe that all souls are created in the image of God and that God loves everyone. He created them. I used to think that homosexuality was a choice or was wrong, but over the years I've tried to understand, you know, their relationship, because a man can be attracted to another man, a woman can be attracted to another woman. It doesn't mean they're gay, but it's, you know, you can be attractive. And this one celebrity recently, I can't remember her name, married a woman, very beautiful. She was married to a man before, and she said that the woman saw her, you know, and everybody's looking for love, looking for intimacy, you know, the same thing in a straight relationship.
So yeah,
let me
ask you a question. My producer was trying to explain to me who this person is. I'm not sure I understand the story, but can you tell me a little bit more about the story? What happened now?
This is a celebrity, a black, beautiful black woman actress. She recently, last year, married a woman. She said because the woman saw her, you know, She saw her, meaning she understood her, she got her, she felt the love, the connection, just like you would anyone else.
Wait, whoa, back up. Okay, so you're saying this beautiful black woman who's an actress married another woman, right?
Yeah.
What's up with that? Where was I at? Whoa. Where was I at?
I have been her friend for years. She even came to her first wedding.
But my question is, if she's a beautiful black woman and she's an actress, yeah, where was I at? I should have stopped that myself. I mean, come on now. I might be a man of cloth, but I ain't stuck on stupid, okay? I'm sorry. I'm just trying to
understand it, because I'm just saying that I believe that a person can be straight and then become, homosexual,
yeah,
or whatever, a lesbian.
I
believe it's a choice, though. I don't think no one is born that way. That's my belief. I believe it's a choice, something that they decided to do.
I'm not going to ask you what church and denomination you belong to. I'm not going to do that on air. But what I will say is, whomever they are, that's a good religion to me, okay? Because it falls in line with, I think, the critical belief. And the critical belief is the fact that, I mean, there's no such thing as a gay gene. I mean, really. We keep talking that we want to, but that's just so unreal. And the other thing is this. It's back to the original conversation we started with, which is choice. That's a person's choice. If they choose to be who they are, then that's fine. We shouldn't interfere. And it goes beyond that. And here's why it goes beyond. If you want to see a successful person in life, anybody that's challenging to be a successful person, use a God within them, and it's all about what they believe they are. If they believe in their brain and get into their brain that I am successful, I have the power to succeed, I have the ability to do great things, once people put that in their brain and their psychic, then that's about letting go and letting God. And that's about becoming stronger in your beliefs and your conviction. It doesn't make a difference where you come from, okay? I'll tell anybody. You heard it here. If you're going to be a hoe, excuse me for making a statement, but if you're going to be a hoe, if that's what you want to be in life, not only am I not going to interfere, I'm going to encourage you to be the best that you could be. Because doing anything else, you're wasting your time, and you're certainly wasting mine. The bottom line is, whether you want to be a garbage collector, whether you want to be a police officer, whether you want to be gay, a transvestite, try to be the best at it. Because doing anything else is nothing but setting yourself up for failure. And that's what life is all about, being successful. We'll step away from the mic for a second. I got to go to the little boys' room, so give me a second. I'll be right back to you, okay? Don't forget, the call-in number is 515-605-9775. This is Stephen B. doing the Key of V of Show Controversy. Telephone call from one of my friends who's a brilliant artist, number one. As a matter of fact, Rai, who now draws under the name, I think, of Alchemy, is probably, just to give you a brief history, I met him, wow, over 40 years ago. And Rai, as I called him at the time, it was kind of interesting how we met, and he and I got into a conversation a long time ago. He's calling in right now. Okay, are you ready? 0114. Right?
Yes.
Hello? Hey. Listen, let me finish here. The gentleman I have to talk to is just incredibly rare. Like I said, I met him over 40 years ago. I'm the godfather of his children. What's more importantly is that his artwork is just unbelievable. It's hit everywhere from the president of the United States at the time, Barack Obama. He's did album covers for Earth, Wind, and Fire, Michael Jackson. He's done artwork for Muhammad Ali. And he's right here in Indianapolis. And not only is he an artist, he's an interesting philosopher. Right now, he's been doing huge murals throughout the city depicting our culture. So I want to introduce you to my friend and one of the best artists and very well known in the United States now, Rai, who paints under the name Alchemy, and he's my best friend. You there with me, man?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, it's good seeing you. Good hearing from you, brother. One of the things I want to, because the show is controversial, one of the things I really want to talk to you about is this whole culture of black artists not getting their just due, not getting paid like their counterparts, not getting the work and the opportunity that really, when you think about it and go back to where art really comes from, it's probably more indicative of the people of color than it is of our white brethren. So, I mean, kind of touch on that. I mean, what's your take on that?
Oh, it's kind of natural considering where we all at and where America comes from. You know, it's like black folks in America, we know how we came here. So that in itself sets us at a natural disadvantage. The way people act, the way they do things is based on the residue of racism. You know, it's just like you had discrimination back in the days with everything else. Well, art is like the last frontier, you know, on that stuff. You know, it goes without being noticed because it's hard for people to gauge, you know. It's very hard to gauge. It's very hard to see, you know. And then there is absolutely no union for artists. How's the artist going to go and complain if you know, like me, if I go in and say, hey, I'm being discriminated against, that would be a mark against me as an artist if I was to shout that out and say it. You know, then I would get even more discriminated against.
I never thought of that.
Who am I going to complain to? There's no way to have a union. You know, it's nothing you can do about it. You know, it's up to the they had the art for the Super Bowl thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of the murals a guy selected, but only after they had already selected 45 out of 150 applicants. 35, and I became the 36th. Because I applied. It's because I was going around painting murals for free, painting buildings. You remember back when I was doing that.
Sure.
TLC, Emmis tried to get me to paint one, and we tried to get paid out of it, and they said, we thought you did that for free.
Right.
When I volunteer, but not when someone asked me to do it.
But you know what, though, and I think that not only in art, I also think in whether it's in your home or wherever, you know, we have developed, unfortunately, this freedom culture as far as we as a people that you should be doing it for me, brother, because you're my brother, when in reality, yes, I'm your brother, but business is business and personal is personal. But let me ask you another question.
You should give me a tip because I'm your brother. Or you should give me some extra because I'm your brother. How about that?
Absolutely. But let me ask you this, man. You're familiar with the controversy involving the art museum here in reference to the director resigning. Are you familiar with that issue?
No, I'm not.
Oh, well, basically, let me research it some more, because basically what I'm getting is that the art director at the museum resigned primarily because they made some statements that were racist and compared to art. There was a sister who was the assistant director who resigned as a result of it.
I heard a little something about that. I heard a little something about that. Yes.
I just wonder if you knew about that. Since we can't really talk that with any degree of intelligence, let me ask you this. Do you think now that the whole political atmosphere with the racism that obviously is really exploding in this country, do you think that now is going to be a matter of black artists, whether it be visual or musical, do you think that now is going to be even harder for them to get their product? Or do you think because of this and what the focus is now of doing the right thing, whatever that is, do you think that this is going to aid them in promoting their services?
I don't think it'll make much difference one way or the other. I think it's going to be up to the individual. It all depends on what type of tenacity he has, you know, practice ethic. What does he do? How does he live his life? Well, how does he do his art? How dedicated he is? That's what's pretty much going to come out. You know, in any field, nothing's going to be served to you on a silver platter. Nothing's going to be given to you. You're going to have to have some get up and get it ethic about yourself. I tell people all the time, young folks, do what you do, what you love to do. Keep doing it with a consistency, and don't let nothing hold you back, and keep a positive expectancy. Because
absolutely, and you know, you just bring back another point, and if I dig too deep, just cut me off. It's interesting that my friend Ray is doing what he's doing today, because back in the day, which we say back in the day, this brother here was so notorious on the streets and spent some time in prison. He was so bad they called him Satan. Now, I've been called a lot of things in life, but there's one thing I had never been called. So that should give you a picture of where this brother was at. And now, and I sit back and think about the stories that Mike, you've shared with me, and just the process of going through life to become the person you are today. We're talking about a father with two grown children who, by all examinations, I mean, they're not stuck on stupid. They ain't killed nobody. Neither one of them went to jail, so that's good. A man that went through a bitter, not bitter, but let's just say painful experience in his life, and still keep the positive attitude that you have. So I'm saying all that for one reason. When you made the statement of people doing or talking to young people, hey, man, put some wisdom in these young brothers' heads who don't understand that when they kill somebody, it's not a video game. They're not going to pop up. That there's some things that they need to do that's going to preserve not only our community, but preserve their lives. Put some on their brain, man.
I will say this, taking someone's life is not something that you can take back. You got to know this, that this, you know, I'm 7 years old, and I know that we are all spiritual beings. We're not the flesh anyway, but yet you still don't take away the flesh from a spirit. You don't take the flesh. We are all eternal beings. We are not the flesh. The flesh is the vehicle we're in. Now, we're in this vehicle because we have dues to pay. The flesh also, if you look it up, it also means shell, and shell means hell, and that means grave and everything. If you're a spirit and you're down in mass, you're in the grave. You're in hell. We're in hell. Now, we're in hell. Here on earth. Well, why are we here? To learn. Now, it takes us practically an eternal time to learn a lot of things that we do learn as spirits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would you set yourself back by taking someone else's opportunity away to learn?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Why would you take away another spirit's opportunity? Why would you in life interfere with another man's opportunity? Why would you deprive somebody of something you need so much yourself?
Absolutely.
Why?
Yes.
You know, you can't undo it.
That's a fact.
I guarantee you, you take a spirit's life, a spirit haunts you for the rest of yours.
Amen. But let me ask you this. And I don't mean to interrupt you, but do you really think, and I know this is a really difficult question to ask, what do you really think about the walking the streets and the clergy getting in the streets and the 10-point, do you see that as doing any good? Do you think we need to do more of that? I mean,
I don't see it doing much good. And then maybe I don't see the people that they touch or reach, but I don't see it doing much good overall. There's been a lot of marching. There's been a lot of things done. A lot of people do things for the networking. They do it for the fame. They do it for whatever indirect fortune they may get.
titles.
As far as things changing, your things don't change. Everyone knows that. They're not changing.
Yeah, titles,
the best
titles. Titles. I'm going to say that like you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The best changing anyone can do is get out there and catch these little children and teach them something. Okay, before they get into streets. Otherwise, walking in the street ain't going to do nothing. You know, they do that for fame and come on, man. They're not changing anything, you know. If you want to get out, build somebody a house, man.
Say that again?
If you want to get out in the street and do something, build somebody a house. Figure out how to. Well, yeah, you know, some type of housing system, something. There are people out here that can't not do anything for a lack of having residence. You know, they cannot, you know, man. You know, I was homeless myself for a minute, and I drew in the park. I painted pictures in the park. I painted pictures, you know, it's hard just for artists to have a studio. Have a place to paint. Somebody want to paint, they have to expand. They can't keep young boy trying to be an artist can't be keep being an artist in his bedroom in his mama's apartment.
But you know what though, Mike, and you know what, even going back to the conversation that about what we need to do with our youth, one of the things I have to say about you is the fact that you have never been contained by walls. I mean, you
never.
Where you go is a studio. I mean, you can sit in the park. I mean, the world is a studio to you. And maybe, and just, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe that's what we need to get across to our young black males and females, that everything, it's life is a studio, okay? And everywhere you go is a work of art, and everything you can do to enhance yourself is a work of art. Because I don't know, I mean, I'm not into crazy art, but the artwork that Charles Manson made, that I couldn't get into, okay, because that was artwork of destruction. But just saying in life in general, I mean, maybe that's what we need to start doing, getting these kids to understand that the walls.
Well, you teach them also that everything around them is art.
Exactly.
Every piece of tool, every button, every shoe string, every shoe itself, everything, your zipper on your pants, the thing, the little things on your zipper, they're little bitty sculptures. Everything that you have and use is a reproduced artwork.
Hey, man, ask Granville T. Woods. Hello. I don't care what you say, everything he invented was art. Am I correct?
Yeah. Yes, listen, man. That like remember that wonderful woman, Miss Poindexter, got on TV and she was talking about the effect of art on society, rap art in particular. And Tupac got on there and told her, embarrassed the woman, and told her that art does not, art imitates life. Life don't imitate art. Tupac was dead wrong and very foolish for that statement.
Absolutely. I didn't know you said that. Absolutely.
Was parody.
And I know you have a lot of respect with
Tupac. Amen. Art creates life.
Absolutely.
There is no, we got living things in the world, true enough. But in nature, there is no art till man comes along with his imagination and creates it.
Absolutely.
Now, we like to see things in nature as art, but they're not. They're just beautiful. It's beautiful nature. That's what it does. Okay, now art is a house being built.
Absolutely.
The first form of art you have is a bow and arrow or a spear.
Oh, how so?
Well, a guy sculpted and he made it, and it has a function. It's functional, very functional.
Absolutely.
That's sculpted, you know.
Absolutely.
Now, you can throw a stone and hit a buffalo, and that buffalo keep moving or get mad at you, come at you. You guy come along with a spear and stab me right in the right place.
Well, exactly.
Because that spear, that pebble on the end of that stick will penetrate.
Absolutely.
That stone won't do nothing but hit, thud, and fall off. That's art. But everything is art. The stuff you wrapped around his loins, making the campfire becomes an art. Cooking
the
food becomes an art.
Absolutely.
Everything around you is art.
Yeah, check this out.
And you know what? It starts with the art of proper mixture.
Check this out. Hey, you're right, man. But, you know, in closing out this segment, I think it's interesting that we ended this way, that there's, you know, one of the things that you told me some time ago, that when you talk about the whole God concept, words are important. God spoke words and these things happen.
Yes.
And you know what's interesting? He's the ultimate artist. He's the ultimate artist because he didn't only put the studio for us here, but he put enough of the tools that you need to be create artwork. You're absolutely right. Hey, man, thank you for talking to me. Oh, and by the way, you're gonna hear more about him on the TV show. I'm going to be interviewing him live, I'm not sure, pretty soon. And we're going to talk some more, but you're going to see his artwork, and his artwork is just absolutely fabulous. Hey, man, if people are in Indianapolis area, where can they see your artwork visually? Where can they go to see it?
Well, you know, I painted the mural of Maury Evans. That's my most notable one, downtown Mass Ave, with the lady with the pink sweat on.
Right, Massachusetts
That's
Avenue.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. I did a mural two blocks behind Lucas Oil Stadium also. Well, it's fading. I got to go back and redo it. I did the one on Ace Hardware on 38th and Illinois. That's faded practically. Got to go and back and redo that one. But
what about
my work is over at Martin University.
Ah,
Attic.
There you go.
Attic. Go to Attics. Attics, I got 36 pictures. I got 36 pictures over.
Right.
Including
Martin
two
University. Right. Martin University, for you guys that are listening that are not from Indianapolis area, is a university that was created by Father Boniface Hardin, who was a black priest.
Yeah.
And in fact, he actually created this university. It's now a full-fledged university here in Indianapolis that has a very liberal arts program. But the interesting thing about it is look Martin University up, and I'm sure that you can get some of the visuals of Alchemy's artwork there. And also, what I'm going to do is within he gives me permission to do such, you got to ask art. See, it's not like it used to be. I used to say to Mike, hey, man, I need you to draw this picture. Mike said, okay, I'll take care of it. And now it's like, hey, Mike, I need you to draw this picture. Hey, man, we got to make sure we got the legal revocation. I ain't mad at you. Business is business. But I'm going to get with him and see if we can film some of his artwork and make a virtual art tour. So can we do that, do you think?
Yep. It's being done. That's the way it's being done with the pandemic thing going on. A lot of that's
My man. Alchemy, Rai,
yes,
Michael Jordan, thank you Alchemy, thank you very, very so much for interviewing us today. We're going to get back together, okay?
Okay, man. All right.
All right. Thank you. You're in the show Controversy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I'll get you later. You're still at the show Controversy, Steve Barnett. It's called Stephen B. Doing it for excellence for you and me because that's what it's all about. If you call in, remember, don't waste your time because my saying is if you're scared, say you're scared. When you call in, say, I ain't scared, and say what you need to say. So don't forget that Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 to 12, we're going to sit down and wrap a little bit. The call-in number also is 515-605-9775. You're communicating with YazzaRadio.com, and our TV station is YazzaTV.com. Let me tell you something. In case you don't know, this is our maiden attempt to do what we're doing. I mean, what we're doing or what we have created is a network. We're not just doing YouTube. I mean, this is probably the first true network, Wi-Fi network in the United States. And we're doing some great things. I mean, some of the things that we're working on besides the Buffalo Soldiers Network. So I hope my producer didn't get mad, and I certainly hope the CEO of the company didn't get pissed off. But we're doing several things. We're not the typical broadcast. We're staying in the lines of broadcast traditional, but we're doing some different things. We want people to enjoy that there's more to life than the NBA. There's more to life than Rush Limbaugh. Well, more like Rush Limbaugh. He's no longer with us, but. And I don't say thank you. Come on. I mean, and I'm going to say something about Rush. I'm going to take this time to say this, okay? I listen to Rush Limbaugh, and I'm not kidding you, for 18 years of my life. I'm being absolutely honest. I learned about Rush because my wife was from Lansing, Michigan, and before he got to the talk show radio status he was, he was an R&B DJ. I mean, that's why when he started the show, he played that R&B type music. With that being said, the reason I listened to Rush Limbaugh was, number one, I had to really respect the talent in an individual that could motivate minds like he did, even though some of that motivation was very negative. That's an understatement. But I sincerely believe that Rush didn't believe half the things he was saying. I mean, come on. It was theater to his guy, and he was good at it. I mean, he was the Barnum and Bailey of radio. I mean, let's be realistic here. Not only did he aid and get a person elected president of the United States, I guess that's what he called himself at the time, but he was able to achieve just massive appeals to people that listen to Rush. So you can't take away from the man's talent. And that being said, one of the things that didn't make sense to me that Rush did was push an agenda that even he knew was wrong. Rush was probably one of the most critical thinking individuals I've ever met and whether you liked what Rush said or not, the man was a critical thinker and a good one. Now, some of his thought processes or his critical thinking was excused only because he was an entertainer first. That's what he was. He, if you really believe that some of the things that he said he truly believed, come on now. You don't understand how this thing works. I mean, there's nothing more theatrical in life than the microphone. I mean, you can sit here and, I mean, you can talk Don Perignon. You can talk whatever you want to talk. Nobody's seeing you. Okay, but the truth of the matter is, it's one of the most effective forms of media because you can be who you are, and that's what Rush was. He was who he was. Was Rush a racist? I mean, you know, there's not a lot of people who are in the media today that aren't a racist, sexist, or something. Why? Because everybody's got to give somebody a title. Rush was who he was. So I respect him for who he was. Did I disagree with him? Absolutely. But I'll tell you one thing he did for me. He let me know what the other side was thinking. Listen to me again. He let me know what the other side was thinking. And that's something that we all must realize. You cannot win. You cannot progress unless you can get into the thought processes of the person that you're dealing with. And let me tell you something. From a military standpoint of view, let me share this with you as a Vietnam veteran. People ask us all the time, what happened in Vietnam? You know, I'm a Navy veteran, and my producer is a Navy veteran as well. But what happened in Vietnam? Why did America give up? Why did America lose? First of all, America didn't lose, okay? What America did was grab Ghost, because America at that time, those that decided to grab Ghost like Henry Kissinger, they wasn't stuck on stupid. Let me share this with you. If you are willing to give your child, a three-year-old, a bomb and walk up to a soldier to explode him and her, if you're willing, now I'm being frank with you, now hear me out, and you non-veterans know what I'm talking about. If you are willing to send your wife or your beautiful teenage daughter out there with razor blades stuck in her vagina, so if these soldiers made love to her and they get cut up, if you don't think you're sending her to a certain death, believe me, as soon as that man screamed, shot. You can't defeat a person like that who is willing to send, and I'm going to tell you something. Sending your life is one thing, okay? Let's understand what I'm saying. If you notice, they never took their butts out there. They sent their daughters and children and all that stuff. There's other people that do that too. Yeah. But at any rate, the bottom line is this. If you're willing to do it, you can't defeat an enemy like that. So the best thing for you to do is take your boots and go home because and let them destroy themselves. Because no one, you can't destroy them. So But that being said, you know, that's why Vietnam was difficult and is really difficult even talking about it at times. But that's the same thing in our culture, man. I mean, let's let Rush rest in peace. Let's respect the man for what he did for radio. Let's respect the man for his message to me. But I tell you what, his greatest message, and it should be to you, is let him keep talking. Let these guys on the Hill, what's the guy's name? Bernstein, the turncoat, the Republicans call him turncoat now. The used to be president of the Senate. Oh, you know I'm talking about, the old dude. Hey, let him talk. Let him tell what they are doing, because then it places us in a better position to be victorious. So with that being said, let's see, where are we at, Bernstein? What time is it? Not that I'm rushing, because this is cool. I'm enjoying this, and I want you to call in. I mean, and I want you to really take the time and spread the word about the Yaiza Radio Network, because this is something that something we should have been doing a long time ago. And the people who researched it, you know, they spent 15 years coming to this point, and it's exciting. And we're open. You know, the station, the network is open for people to suggest something they want to see. If you do nothing else, call and say, hey, you know, I like to see this. I like to say, don't call and tell us, well, you don't like what you're doing. Y'all should do it. No, that's not what you do. If you're going to call us, be positive. Give us something that we can say, okay, we get to that. We can share that. And at the same time, we're going to share you, because that's what it's all about, doing for you as you are going to do for us. It's all about sharing, okay? So, once again, don't forget, starting this weekend, I'm excited, on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, from 10 to 12, we're going to talk. And Friday is all going to be about whatever you want to say, okay? I'm not going to dictate, you know, what you're going to say. But I'm going to give you a hint at the end of the show of what we're going to talk about next. But with that being said, if you want to talk about something else besides that, then we can do that. Just remember, please don't call here with no bull crap. I ain't got time for that. If you're scared, say you're scared. If you say you're scared, you don't sense of calling anyway. I want you to be open. Be live. I mean, if you want to talk about your love relationship, we can talk about that too. My lot in life, when people ask me the question, why am I here? Well, it's simply to be successful and to pursue a successful destiny in life. And that's what I want everybody else to do. I'll throw some motivational things in there when I can. Of course, then too, you can always invite me out to your church or your meeting places. And you know, we'll talk. You tell me the subject, and I'll tell you an answer, because the truth of the matter is, I'm not kidding you when I tell you that I'm talking to you with 90% of my brain in handcuffs behind my back. Only 10% we operate this with my brain. Probably most of you are having a hard time dealing with that 10%. So for those of you who will challenge me, for those of you who will challenge yourself, and for those of you who believe in yourself, y'all come and check us out here on Controversy. And please, by all means, spread the word about Yaiza Network, because we're all about being live. Remember, the radio station is YaizaRadio.com, TV, YaizaTV.com. Something for you, something for me, and more importantly, it's all about we. Thank you. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow, 10 o'clock. We're going to rock and roll. Bye-bye. Hey, this is Stephen B. coming back to you in short distance. Let me tell you what's going on in the network, the Yasser Network. We've got Yasser. Just write it down if you can't get it, put it in your phone. Yasser TV Network. If you want to go to our radio network, it's YasserRadio.com. Or you want to go to the TV link, it's YasserTV.com. It's YasserRadio.com and Yasser TV. And what I want to tell you about is a couple of our shows. We've got one show that's going to be running pretty tough. It's called Yasser Live, and that's dealing with business and culture. And that host is Dwayne Alexander, our CEO, and the cameraman, the boss man, Spad. The show's going to be on from Tuesday to Thursday at 10 to 12. Check this out. If you want to find out how to make some money, how about being about money, you want to check that out. That's Yasser Live, our business channel, on Tuesday and Thursday from 10 to 12. With our host, Dwayne Alexander. And also, I want you to understand that a really serious show, especially from you black men, especially the young black men, is Culture Kings. Culture Kings on YasserTV.com. That's on Sunday. That's each Sunday at 8 p.m. And your host is Snappy Peppy and the Professor. These men are men on fire. They're talking about what's the real. For you mothers, get your young brothers to watch this show. It's going to blow them away. They're serious. It's all about the real. That's the Culture Kings on Zion, the Culture Kings on the network. That's YasserTV.com. That's 8 p.m. every Sunday. Come and check it out and get these children inspired. And last but not least, I want to tell you about today. That's Monday at 8 p.m., the Peppy and Snap podcast show. These brothers talk about everything from prison reform to feeding your babies. We've got to put this kind of message out. So please tell your friends about the Yasser Network TV. That's YasserRadio.com, YasserTV.com. Don't forget, check us out. We're there for you. Thank you.